We're really glad that you all are here. My name is Luke. It's going to be a good morning. We are moving forward in our sermon series called Encounters with Christ, but first wanted to point your attention to this Connect card. It would be an honor for us to pray for you if there's anything going on in your life, and that doesn't have to be a big, crazy, you know, wild thing. It can be anything. It would be a privilege for us to pray with you. It would be a privilege for us to get to know you. If you are a guest here to Westgate, fill that out. It's sitting right in front of you so that we at least know you are here. We can reach out, say hi, and see if there's any way that we can serve you. Would be honored to do that. Okay, so Encounters with Christ, this is John chapter 4, and we've been talking about this encounter that Jesus has at a well with this Samaritan woman. And it's like mind-blowing that Jesus, this Jewish important man, is having this conversation with a lowly Samaritan woman. And then he talks to her about the living water that he's come to give. And then he talks to her, she tries to kind of debate some things with him. And he talks to her about what it looks like to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And it's this really powerful, probably one of the most powerful interactions between Jesus and another person through all of Scripture. And then, as John chapter 4 continues on, it takes this sharp pivot. It takes this sharp pivot away from the spiritual encounter that he's having with her, and it starts to all of a sudden kind of blow wide open to these encounters that they have with other people. And that's what we're going to talk about today, okay? So it's a theme of the book of John, of helping people to see that we all have a responsibility to be out sharing our faith, to be witnesses. If you remember when we were studying John chapter 1 around Easter time, we talked about sharing our testimony. I use this illustration of this moment I had while I was on an airplane. And while I was on the airplane, I was sitting behind, a couple rows behind Paul Allen, the voice of the Vikings. And I saw this kid, this football kid, gazing into his eyes for like 2 hours for this entire flight. And I'm just sitting there thinking like, wow, what an opportunity
okay,
for this.
Hold on, ladies and gentlemen. Pastor Luke, hold on. Oh, hey, what's going on, everybody? Happy Sunday. That's the back of my head.
Thank you for being here, Paul.
Well,
welcome to Westgate Church. We're
glad
you're here.
Thank you. Do you guys mind if I take a selfie so I forever can cherish this moment? You know, I'm sure that happens a lot at your church since it's a picture-based church, right?
That's
I mean,
right.
It, there are no pictures in the Bible, you know that, right?
That's true.
Okay,
that's
so
true.
Seriously, I want to take a selfie. So everybody, hey. All right, thank you. And having the honor to be here, I feel like I should speak to all of you like this, since all you know is the back of my head. So, all right. Here's the genesis of what's happening, okay? And it is an absolute honor to be here and be at your church, and your church is beautiful. The music was beautiful. The prayer was beautiful. The greeting was beautiful. Do you find the back of my head to be beautiful? Yes. Hair given by God, and I guess he can count every single follicle on my head, right? So here's why I'm here. Okay, first and foremost, we're all here because God has chosen we get to be here. Amen? Okay. Well, I'm driving to Pelican Rapids. I'd say it was in March. And there's a lady in your congregation named Jean. Jean, you put your hand up? Okay, hi, Jean. Okay, so I'm driving up there with my significant other, Lisa. And her phone's blowing up saying, at Westgate Church in Plymouth, you're not going to believe what our lead pastor did. And Luke has been here since January, and the church is just a wonderful, wonderful place. And clearly, he's looking for new ideas to come up with sermons and things like that. And I'm like, you know, I've listened to and watched a lot of Billy Graham sermons. I can't say that he's ever used the back of somebody's head with a clandestine shot from an airplane to like lead a preach to 50,000 people at Shea Stadium. But nevertheless, that's how God guided your pastor. So Lisa and I watched/listened to the preach here at Westgate with the back of the head and the individual next to me for the whole preach. And I was so honored that this came about in organic, honorable fashion the way it did, that I immediately pulled over, Googled Westgate Church, found the number, and I called Luke. But he's a pastor, so he's probably ministering to people or fishing with his father or getting the preach ready for the weekend or something like that. So, of course, he didn't answer. And, of course, he didn't call back for 2, 3, or 4 days. So I'm like, all right. I mean, maybe if I can get a working cell phone number for Pastor Luke and I send him a picture of the back of my head, maybe he'll call me. But then he called me on Monday. So I called him on Friday, and I purposely left the message like this. Luke, this is Paul Allen, voice of the Vikings. I'd like to speak with you post-haste. Here's my phone number. Okay? So he had no idea what was coming. He might be like, uh-oh, what's going to happen here? So I set it up that way, and then we talked, and then we texted, and then we met at a coffee shop in Eden Prairie where I live. And I said, I'm so honored that you used me and this football player, who I'm going to mention momentarily, to lead one of your sermons. Because I'll never forget it, where he built this up, and just people know Paul Allen, and boom, and he's loose. Go Vikes. Packers fans in here. We have Packers fans, right? Right, well, that just further proves spiritual warfare is real. Amen? All right. So I said, if you are so inclined, I would like to come to your church and I would like to speak to your congregation about exactly what this young man and I were chatting about. And so he vetted it out like a good pastor would. And so I told him, you know, what we talked about for about an hour and 45 minutes. We're not going to spend an hour and 45 minutes here, so I'm going to encapsulate some things and it'll be in truncated fashion. But nevertheless, the origin of it, and then the meeting with Pastor Luke and I, and we go over it, and here we are. So amen with that, and I'd like to share with you what was being discussed on that airplane from Minneapolis to Indianapolis with your lead pastor covertly taking pictures of me, which I'm still, I mean, it happens a lot, and I take a lot of pictures, and it's an honor, and I'm flattered and everything, but just it's never developed this way. But isn't the unpredictability or the mystery of faith the way God works? And here we are. So first and foremost, thank you, Luke. It's an honor to be here. The young man on the right, okay? His name is Atticus Sappington, and he was a kicker for the University of Oregon. So I'm flying to the combine to do radio shows for the radio station for which I work, KFAM, and also for the Vikings Entertainment Network. And, you know, there's Atticus, big-time clutch kicker for a very good Oregon football team. So he sits next to me. And I didn't know his name at the time when we first started chatting, and beautifully he had no idea who I was or what I did. So it all started with a clean slate from ground zero. And the name Atticus Sappington, it's like when you hear the name Atticus Sappington, it makes me feel like I'm part of some crime drama or maybe like in a movie where if you can't find him, just think about this. You pause, it gets all quiet, and then you say, has anybody seen Atticus Sappington? It sounds like you're looking for some kind of superhero in a movie. So what a beautiful name. Here's how it started. We're sitting next to each other, about 15, 20 minutes into the flight, 5 pictures already in the phone of your lead pastor. You've only seen 2. He saw this. If I don't know where the camera is or if there even is a camera on me right now or whatever, but maybe you can see this, okay? He saw me reading this and writing some things down. Now, what this is, this was given to me 6 or 7 years ago. It is the Book of Psalms and the Hebrew translation. Okay, outside of the word ruach, I don't know any Hebrew. So therefore, like this side of it, I'm not reading. But this, the original Hebrew translation, just like the Septuagint and Greek and everything, it's just I'm fascinated with it, and I want to get to the origin of the translations. So I'm reading this, and the young man says, if you don't mind me asking, what are you reading? And I said, well, this is the Hebrew translation of the book of Psalms. I'm speaking Thursday evening in Pierce, South Dakota. And the chat is about the difference between the words rest and repose. And it's the difference between what we as man deem to be rest and biblically how God looks at the word rest. So then we introduce ourselves, and he's Atticus Sappington. And then I said, I'm Paul Allen. I call Vikings games on the radio. That's why I'm going to the combine. And before we got into Psalm 23, he kind of looked over his left shoulder. He's like, who's that guy three rows behind us taking pictures? And there's this dark-haired guy that keeps walking by, and it's like, as he walks by, he's holding his phone like this. I'm like, I have no idea what's happening there. But God's permitting it to happen, so let's keep chatting. So then we started chatting about Psalm 23, a very, very popular part of the Bible. The Lord is our shepherd. But the part, verse 2, that we were chatting about, it's on the screen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Well, the focus, because he asked me why I'm reading that, what I'm writing down. And I said, I think it's beautiful, not only in the Hebrew translation, where it says the Lord lies me down, compared to ESV, NIV, all the translations that people follow. I just think it's fascinating, and it's so beautiful that God chose, or as the Old Testament would go, Yahweh chose, that King David is going to use the word makes in all translations. Because then the next part, the next verse is, he leads me beside still waters, and then he restores my soul. So Atticus, let's look at this. Makes, leads, restores. Well, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, I mean, we can unpack it more, and we can go to Genesis, the first three verses, where the Trinity's right there. But we focused on the word makes. And that's how the conversation started. And he asked me what I meant. And I said, well, okay, why does he make us lie down in green pastures? And why is it important to God that the word makes, the verb makes, is in all these translations? Think about it. Honestly, we won't stop sinning. We won't slow down. We won't stop chasing raises. We won't stop chasing prestige. We won't stop chasing bonuses. We won't stop chasing the shiny toys of the world or certain sin unless we are made by God to stop. Amen? Maybe not all the time. It's at his choosing, but he is making David lie down in a green pasture, and then he's leading him, and then he's restoring him. So we went through that, and after that, Luke took another picture, because Atticus was looking at the Bible and me intently, and it was just so beautiful when, you know, Luke built this up in March or whatever it was, and he's like, he paused. It was just so powerful, and you know, how do we look at Jesus? Do we look at Jesus with this type of intentionality? Do we look at Jesus and the gospel of Jesus Christ with this kind of focus? I'm not kidding you, man. It's one of the greatest honors that I've ever experienced, especially when you didn't call me back for 4 days. That was super special. Holy cow. Then we started talking about it, and he's like, well, what are you going to talk about? And I said, well, I think I'll start unpacking the sacrificial nature of the book of Leviticus. And then after that, you know, Moses wrote the most words in the Bible. Paul wrote the most books. So we'll start with Moses and probably unpack every single word he wrote in the Torah. So his head was spinning. He had no idea what was happening. But Atticus was into this. And the give and take was so beautiful. So from there, I'm going to the combine. We got the NFL draft coming up. I'm voice of the Vikings. We're trying to win the division. And he played with two players who were going to go in the first round. So, hey, Atticus, give me rest. Let me ask you a couple of questions about your teammates. So I asked him about a safety named Dylan Thieneman, who I thought the Vikings quite possibly would draft. He ended up going to the Bears. and I asked about an Oregon tight end named Kenyon Sadiq, and a very, very fine player. He went in the first round. I thought the Vikings had a chance to draft him. So he kind of told me about them, and so from there, we're probably an hour out now, and your pastor is now asking the flight attendant for an iPhone charger because he's run out of battery taking all these pictures. And in fact, you know, there was a picture that's not up there where we were laughing about something, and I know it had to be Pastor Luke three rows behind us because I heard somebody shuffling to get their phone real quick and like knocked over three people's Diet Cokes. And Atticus and I are like, what's happening back there? Holy cow. So we're about an hour out. We talk about those players. We had talked about Psalm 23. And Atticus then opened up to me that, because I asked from like a player's standpoint, when you're flying into the unknown, where, you know, you're going to go there and you're going to kick and people are going to watch and your teammates are going to run and you're going to have these private interviews with coaches and personnel people in hotel rooms at the JW Marriott at Indianapolis and stuff like that. What's that like? And he spoke for himself, but he also spoke for about five other players with the Ducks who were heading to Indianapolis. And he said, interestingly, you know, we were kind of talking about that because he was connecting from Eugene, Oregon, to Minneapolis, to Indianapolis. I'm going to leave the part out of the conversation, the 15 minutes we talked about Portland, Oregon. Holy cow. I'm not going to drop a Sodom and Gomorrah line in here, but I mean, that's something needs to change in that place. And he agrees with me too. Okay, 3-2. So he was nervous. And he said, you know, we're all nervous because we don't know what's coming. And I said, well, that's normal, that's natural. But see, then he went down the road of, well, I don't, you know, I just don't feel right being this anxious, you know, after we've talked about the rest that God provides when he makes us lie down in green pastures. So then I said, well, it's not a sin to be anxious. And then he said, well, what do you mean? And so then we went to, I believe it was the book of Philippians, chapter 4, like verse 6, where Paul writes that we are not to be anxious. Instead, via prayer, give thanks, supplication. Well, we all use the word supplication a lot, don't we? Thanks, supplication, and glorification to the Lord for everything at all times, because he never changes. We change, he doesn't. And then so Atticus pointed that out. And I'm like, well, he's like, well, it says don't be anxious. And I'm like, okay, well, I mean, that's really, really dropping in here and taking the low-hanging fruit and disrespecting the context of what's being shared here. Because, and then we went through a couple other passages. I'm like, look at this, look at this, look at this. See, God is not telling us we're never going to be anxious. God is not telling us depression's never going to hit us. God's not telling us that we're not going to sin. What he's saying is, when he says we're not to be anxious, instead do this, don't become a prisoner to the anxiety. That's the sin. Instead, through prayer, recognize all the wonderful things we have in our lives, no matter if something bad is happening, and for whatever the reason, God is permitting it, where biblically speaking, the glorification of his son through this somehow will take place. We just can't see it. So let's not second guess it. Amen? So, yeah, let's not become a prisoner to the anxiety. But, hey, if you're nervous or you got something going on, you know, that's quite natural, specifically in this world. So then we talked about that. And it had a rest tie to it. So then, beautifully and amazingly, Atticus, does anybody know where Atticus Sappington is? And there was a chance he was going to walk out of that door. We're going to tell this together, but that didn't work. And I'll explain that momentarily in my final 9 minutes. So then Atticus said to me, rest, rest. The difference between how we as man perceive rest, naps, going to bed early, sitting in the garage looking at the phone, going on vacations, whatever. However you and we look at rest. That's generally speaking how man looks at rest. Amen? Okay, well, God's rest clearly is different. His rest offers an assurance with conviction, and there's hope. So we started to get into that. And he said, you know, one of my favorite passages in the New Testament is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. And I said, you got to be kidding me that you just said that. And then he said, well, why? And I said, well, you know, I'm 60 years old, and I've believed in God all my life. I prayed the Lord's Prayer, but until 7 years ago, I never had gone to church. And I mean, outside of one or two times a year. And it was a Catholic church. And I had never gone to a Protestant church or seen a true preach teach like you get here at Westgate, unpacking the Bible and teaching things biblically in sola scriptura fashion. I'd never experienced that until 7 years ago. And then he's like, go on. And I said, yeah. So I was at this preach, and my significant other, Lisa, brought me. And there I am, and we prayed, and we heard the great music and everything. And it was a series called All Sides of the Savior. Well, I had never seen a series at a church. I mean, the times I had gone to church, it was kneel, get up, Pontius Pilate, kneel, get up, communion, shake hands, and I'm out. And that's pretty much all I knew. So Atticus said, why is that so amazing? Come to me, all who are heavy laden, who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me to find rest for your souls. And then so on, heart is lowly, burden is light, and so on. And rest was in there twice. And I said, well, the first time I was at this preach, you know, where the calling, whatever calling God was putting on me at that time, it was taking place through that passage. And here's what I mean. Because I'm at this sermon, and, you know, here it's, you got a guy with his arm stuck between some rocks in the middle of Utah. There's nobody around, and never gave up on Christ, and passage, crucifixion, resurrection, song, and there we go. And I couldn't stop thinking about it. It was so beautiful, but I didn't get the passages. It's like Deuteronomy over there, Hosea over there, Genesis over there, Corinthians over there. I had no idea what was happening. But then the preacher got to Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Very first Protestant preach I took in my life. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, it's when I first saw that, Elisa was right next to me. I whispered to her, or maybe I said it after the preach, I don't care if you're a staunch atheist, or if you're Billy Graham all the way on the other side, that's the most beautifully inviting thing I've ever seen in my life. And I couldn't stop thinking about it. Him, it's the ultimate invitation. Come to me, all Muslims, Jews, Mormons, everybody. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I mean, to unpack the context of the passage, Jesus at the time speaking to those downtrodden, heavy laden due to Pharisees and Sadducees and law and stuff like that. That's for a separate time, but that was the genesis of it for this. And so Atticus, I'm like, you don't even know what you just said here, man. I mean, that passage right there was so paramount to where we are right now, the ultimate invitation, and it also includes rest. So then he read it to me. Then we hit a little turbulence and I think Luke dropped his phone, and it went like three seats up, and of course he had a middle seat because he had just started the pastoral work, so he's got to give it a little while. He had a middle seat. He's like this. got a couple of Ole Miss offensive linemen to the left and right of him. He's like, hey, can you take a picture of this guy for me? He doesn't really talk like that. So we hit moderate chop, is what they call it in the airline business. We hit some chop. And Atticus was a little shaken, and I'm like, well, whenever I fly, but specifically when I fly with the team to Vikings games or we fly back, it's whether I had learned of the gospel 7 years ago, which was the case while always believing in God, or not. I kind of always prayed the same prayer. And so we prayed, and Atticus and I took hands. And I said, Heavenly Father, please have it be in your will for us to land in Indianapolis safely. However, if we don't, we repent of our sins, and we understand that we're going to be with you if we don't make it. And that's beautiful. And it eased the anxiety and provided God's rest. Let's not pat Paul Allen on the back. Let's just recognize the honor it was that God used Atticus and or me to, for each other to sharpen the iron and to empower each other. That's exactly what was happening. So then the turbulence stopped. And, oh, by the way, at the end of the prayer, it was, Father, it'd be really cool if it was in your will that we really did make it to Indianapolis, because there might be something coming at Westgate here in late May that I have no idea about. But, of course, you know that is part of my plan. And I just want to make that thing right. So in the name of your son, we love you. Amen. So then the moderate chop stopped. And we talked about, for about the next 15 or 20 minutes, again, the difference between how we view rest as human beings and biblically how God views rest or shares repose or shares rest with us. His rest, I believe it's the book of Hebrews chapter 1, the by faith, where with conviction, he gives us the assurance of what we can't see. And by faith, where we're going to go, because we believe in his son. And we talked about truly how I feel it's underrated, maybe here, maybe not. Truly how I feel how underrated it is for us as believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ. To look at it is an absolute honor that God has chosen. We get to know the story of his son is true. Because clearly, watch the news, man. Look at the rest of the world. Clearly, a lot of people are not privileged enough through the word of God to know the gospel of his son is our assurance. We have conviction in it, and it's our only hope. Amen? So his rest is resting in him, where our rest is a nap. Big difference. And, you know, with the nap, you can see the bed, you can feel groggy or feel better when you get up. Well, a lot of this is by faith. But it's an honor to know, A, that God knows our names. That is massive. Just think about that. God knows your name. God, Yahweh, I am. The first and last, Alpha and Omega, knows your name. And he has given us the honor, because as the Bible teaches in the book of John and the book of Romans, God chooses us. We don't choose him. Now, that requires unpacking, and we don't have time. But biblically speaking, it's there. Foreknowledge, to calling, to justification, to glorification. God chooses us. We don't choose him. And it was an amazing honor that he chose. I got to sit next to that young man on that flight and talk about what we talked about for 2 hours, and talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ and looking at John 3:16 and reading that over and over and saying the whole gospel of Jesus Christ is right here. The whole thing is in this one passage. And then we talked about that a little bit. And then we landed and we embraced and we've stayed in touch, Atticus and I. And we text and we FaceTime. And then about a week and a half ago, no, it was probably a month ago now, the Vikings had rookie camp recently, okay? A week and a half in front of rookie camp, and he said, dude, you're not going to believe who just called me. I'm like, what? What happened? He said, the Vikings have invited me to rookie camp. I'm like, okay, now hold on here. We're FaceTiming. Okay, now I got to do it like that to hide my third chin. Hold on. All right, Atticus. Okay, Atticus. Let's see. So let's unpack this, Atticus. God knows we have Will Reichard, one of the best kickers in the NFL. You know we have Will Reichard, and your agent knows we have Will Reichard. Yet God chose, you're going to come to Minnesota and kick a rookie camp. That just took what was a beautiful 2 hours and made it more beautiful that I got to see my friend that Thursday night at the Omni Hotel in Eagan where they stay, and then that Friday for rookie camp. When we saw each other, we almost cried because, again, I said it again to him. Okay, we got to figure this out, man. God knows we have Will Reichard, and he's like the best kicker in the NFL, and he's not hurt. And you know we have Will, and your agent knows we have Will. Yet via his will, you're here. Why? We couldn't figure it out. So we prayed. And then, you know, we got this big locker room at Twin Cities Orthopedics Performance Center, big Taj Mahal locker room where all the players who were drafted, that's where they all went. Well, the rookies who were drafted. Well, the undrafted or the tryouts like Atticus, there's this small little closet off the player's lounge. I'm not kidding you. I mean, it fits like 15 people, and these kids are beef eaters. Well, Atticus is in there. So he couldn't find a spot, and I'm like, well, you're a camp invite, and you're undrafted, so that's they dress in here. And he was like, I wish I was in there. And I said, no, you don't, because that would be second-guessing God's will. God has you in here. And by the way, if this room had been here 20 years ago, you ever hear of a player named Adam Thielen? Undrafted camp tryout, he would have been in here. You ever hear of a player named John Randall, one of the great defensive tackles in the history of the NFL? He's in a little something called the Hall of Fame. Well, 40 years ago, 35 years ago, whatever, John would have been in this little coat closet. Marcus Sherrills knew who he is, greatest punt returner in the history of the team. He would have been in here. So head into your room proudly and just recognize through God's will and the rest he has chosen to give you, you are here. So make the best of it. And then he left. And if he had been invited back for the organized team activities, he would have been with me here today, but he wasn't. And you know what? After talking to Atticus multiple times about it, he's totally fine that he's not here and he's not on a team yet. Yes, he wants to be on a team. God gifted him in ways that he didn't gift any of us. The kid's going to kick in the NFL. But he's at ease because he found rest for his soul. And he recognizes whose yoke is easy and whose burden is light. And subsequently, that makes his and our burden easy. And it makes our heart lowly. Our love for Jesus Christ and, of course, following the gospel of God's Son, but recognizing it from the polarizing other side. It's not how much we love him, it's how much he loves us. The love and the grace and the mercy, the privilege, and everything that's come into it for all of us, no matter how bad things are, there's good. And that's the rest given to us by him, the assurance, the conviction, the hope that we're going to be at the right hand of God when we die, and he's going to open the book of life, and our names are going to be in there. And that should be the greatest thing Paul Allen, Atticus Sappington, Pastor Luke, or any of you here all day, is that you're going to heaven because of your belief in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was our chat, and I was really honored to share it with you. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. So I got two quick questions for you. Do you have two?
You have what?
I have two quick questions for you.
Okay.
First of all, though.
Oh, yeah. And I forgot to tell you that up to this, for about the last week and a half, I would text your pastor and say, I got it. We're going to talk about 2 Kings when Elijah was trash-talking those following Baal. And put water around the whole thing. We're going to get
I'm
into that.
I'm never taking a picture of anyone ever again.
Wow.
No, here's what I want to know. For anyone here who maybe isn't as used to talking openly about their faith or engaging in those conversations, what encouragement or advice would you have for us?
So you mean those who, the Great Commission, those who desperately want to share with others what God has shown them and revealed to them, but they don't know how and they're scared.
Yeah.
That's hard. And I mean, it's like when I speak, like we spoke today, and whether it's at Christian school, fundraisers, New Life Academy, places like that, churches, breakfast, stuff like that, I never say I preach, okay? I speak, I share, and here's why. Because with Luke and Roger, is it?
Kevin, yeah.
Say it again?
Kevin.
Yeah, like I said, Kenneth. I mean, Kevin. Okay, back to the back of the head. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. They put so much time into pastoral work, ministering with people and everything that goes into being a lead pastor. God just chose at 52 years of age, while always believing in him, and it was important to me. I prayed all my life. I didn't include Jesus Christ in one prayer for 52 years, okay, because I had no idea what the gospel was. I'd heard of it. I knew about the cross. I knew about the resurrection, but I didn't know the significance. So God decided that I'm going to develop these platforms for this young man. There's going to be turmoil along the way, and there also is going to be success. But I'm going to give him X amount, 2 decades plus, with 3 microphone-related jobs, and some would say a big following. And then I'm going to unfurl him to share and do things like this. So that was God's plan. God chose that plan for me, and obviously I'm a willing participant. When it comes to having a conversation with somebody at work or a family member or whatever, and you know it's time to say, can we pray? Can I talk to you about this? Yet you get nervous because you're like, I'm going to mess up a passage or I'm not going to do it the right way. That again is putting, if there's an iota of functionality or something, intentionality that leads to heaven that is put on man, I'm out. That's it. I'm out. I'm in complete submission to God's will. He puts you in that spot. You are to do it. And guess what? As the Bible teaches, the Apostle Paul in one of the epistles, if you mess up the passage or you don't do it right, still do it. Because the Holy Spirit covers it and clears it for you. We're conduits. It's an honor God chose I get to be here and share with you. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, what I would say is when it comes to sharing, what I do is when I'm chatting with a football player or somebody at work or whatever, whether they want to or not, I will take their hand. So they're like talking, and then I'll say, not can I pray for you or do you want to pray? I just say, let's pray. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father. And then I pray the gospel. I pray that God keeps them within his bubble of love and through that shows him or the person his son and all that comes with it. It's, again, how much he loves us, the grace he gave us, the mercy he gave us, not the boxes we think we can check or the T's we can cross by, hey, I'm speaking here at Westgate Church, so boom, there's another box checked on en route to heaven. Doesn't work like that. So I pray, or I tell people, I would tell you, pray to God's will, and beg of him, glorify him, love him, recognize every good thing in your life, thank him for it, and then say, if it's in your will, Father, will you please guide me to do this? And when I pray with players before games, there's a common thread 90 minutes before the game of God is Heavenly Father, you did not have to choose we get to do this, but you did. So guide us in a way that we can glorify your son and put peace and acceptance in hearts and things like that. But we pray to God's will to show us how to do something we can accomplish. And that includes overcoming sin. And, you know, if it doesn't happen as quickly as you want things to happen, okay, because it's God's schedule, not ours. Mm-hmm. And through that baseline knowledge, what happens? We find rest for our souls, mm-hmm. because only he can make us. We're sheep. He's the shepherd. Men don't like being told they're sheep. Sheep are dumb. But you know what? Without a shepherd, what happens to the sheep? They walk off cliffs. Mm-hmm. They get eaten by wolves. Sound like a metaphor for 2026? without, I mean, I'm telling, it's like when Atticus and I first met, you know, and he didn't know what I did. And I told him my name and I called Vikings games on the radio. And he's like, yeah, I think I've seen one of your calls on TikTok. And he started to like search my name. Now, this is late February. I said, no. Don't Google my name right now. Give it about another month, because a month previous, I made a joke on the radio, and there were some people who genuinely were hurt with a protesting-related joke that I made, but where it went from there, it was strict agents of the devil just trying to ruin lives, and so let's give it a month before you search Paul Allen on the Google machine, and just let this stuff just go off to the side a little bit. Well, he didn't, of course, because you know, he went right into it. And then we started talking about that. And I think I got into 2 Thessalonians 17 or something, or cosmic superpowers and the whole armor of God. We talked about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Pray. That's the answer. Pray. Pray.
Mm-hmm. Well, the whole point of this was to let us see you as an example of being in a position where God allows you to be used to impact other people and lead him, shepherd him, shepherd them towards Jesus. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
For being that example
God
for
bless
us.
God bless you, man. I love you.
Appreciate it.
I love you guys. That was awesome. God bless you. Thank you very much. That was an amazing honor. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
And he is off. He's got a job to do, a race to call, so we're excited about that. Your homework assignment is this. Go read through the middle portion of John chapter 4, where you see the woman at the well who had her own encounter with Jesus, then go share it immediately, instantly start sharing it with other people, and the way that God used that to lead them into their own encounter with Christ. That is the opportunity that we have, just like he did, to be used to bring people to encounter him. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're actually going to have a quick video, and we have two more amazing guest speakers coming up. Our kids team is going to come and talk about another opportunity that we have for you all to be put in a position to shepherd other people to encounter Christ. Let me pray. Thank you, Father, for this time we've had. Thank you so much for Paul's testimony and his obedience, his faithfulness, Lord. Now would you encourage us to seize each opportunity that you give us to shepherd people into the presence of Jesus Christ, because he has transformed our hearts, and we know that through us he has more and more and more that he wants to do. Thank you for this time that we've had this morning and for everyone's presence here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.